Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My next guest will give us the details. It was kind of a good news, bad news, good news scenario for the Mets tonight. The bottom line is they did come away with a win and stretch their lead in the NL East another half game over the Phillies, who were inactive. And it was anything but inactive for those covering the Mets tonight, because they had information they had to gather after the 3-2 win. And Justin Toscano from the Bergen Record, good enough to hop on with board with us and tell us how it came down tonight. Justin, Jody Mack here. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, Jody.
No, thank you. All right, so the game ends. You're up paying attention, and sure enough, DeGrom comes out after 6. And there's no immediate word as to why he left as early as he did. And then in-game, they report on SNY that he's left with tendonitis, which scared the bejesus out of me when I got the report that flexor tendonitis was the reason they left after 6. Because usually that's an injury that's going to take time to recover from. But then after the game, you get Jacob DeGrom on Zoom, and he says, no, this is something that I felt during the week. It didn't get any worse during the game, and I'm thinking I won't be missing any time. Were you expecting that to be the report you got after the game?
No, I don't think so. Cause, yeah, I think, like, right flexor, whenever you have something, you know, obviously in the forearm that stretches up kind of to the elbow, and DeGrom said this himself, anytime you hear anything anywhere near the elbow, you're just not expecting it to be great. So I don't think I was expecting them to be that optimistic, especially because with his right side tightness earlier in the year, they just put him on the IL just to be super safe. So they're obviously going to be super cautious with somebody they know they want to have for the long run. So I wasn't expecting it to be that optimistic of an outlook, but hey, you know, he's a competitor. I guess you expect him to be more optimistic because of that, and he wants to go out every 5 days. It's tough to take him out of a game, tough to have him miss a start just because he is so competitive. But I do think I'm going to steal your good news, bad news, good news, that, yeah, it does seem like the Mets aren't concerned, because Luis Rojas followed DeGrom and said that he's also not too concerned because DeGrom's not concerned. And I think the big point here is that they did ligament tests and those all checked out fine. And then DeGrom's a guy, obviously, who's had Tommy John before and has had other, you know, elbow issues earlier in his career. And he said that this really didn't feel like anything like that. So I think that's the best sign there, is he knows what those elbow injuries feel like. And to him, this didn't compare, and he's feels like it's something he can manage. And he said it really didn't get worse throughout the game even. So I don't think it's even comparable to the right side tightness. It seems like a lot better of an outlook even than, you know, what he had a month ago.
That's very good news. Did the manager say how the conversation went when he came off the field in the 6th inning, how they decided that was going to be it for him? Was it more DeGrom saying, yeah, you know, I got some feeling there? Was it them saying, Jake, we're pulling you at this point, we're going to be uber cautious? How did the decision that DeGrom was going to come out after only 80 pitches actually come down?
Yeah, so as I understand it, the conversation was between DeGrom, head athletic trainer Brian Chicklow, and then pitching coach Jeremy Hefner. So DeGrom actually, because this flexor injury really didn't worsen throughout the week, and he really thought it was fine because he woke up pain-free today. So he really didn't tell the trainers about it until during the game. And so that was the first that everybody heard of it. He told Brian Schicklow, the athletic trainer, and then Jeremy Hefner, the pitching coach, about this. And they talked it over. And then after that sixth inning and before that sixth inning, it started tightening up on him a little bit as he was loosening up. And then, of course, he, you know, completes the scoreless inning. And then when he went back in the dugout, let them know about it, you know, and kept talking through it. Eventually, Jeremy Hefner went over to him one final time and said, hey, you know, like we've got to play it safe here. Obviously, you know, that's a franchise player. This is a team that's now 7 games over .500. So it was a safe play. And DeGrom agreed with that. And playing it safe. And then so after the game is when Luis Rojas was really able to talk to DeGrom, manager to player, about kind of what happened and learn more about it. So it was more Jeremy Hefner and the athletic trainer talking about, you know, that arm care sorts of things. And it really, you know, the message you would expect in terms of playing it safe there.
Justin Toscano from The Record, our guest here on The Fan, talking Mets baseball. I've been watching the Mets for 50-plus years now. I watched Tom Seaver pitch and other great pitchers in a New York Met uniform over the last 5 decades. This run that Jacob DeGrom is on right now is the best, and it's 10 games, so we'll call it a nice round number. Thanks for that, Jacob. The best 10-game stretch I've ever seen any pitcher in the history of the New York Mets. Have you seen, maybe we need to bring in other players from other teams. This is getting to be historic, what DeGrom's doing when he goes out there on the mound, Justin.
Right, yeah, I don't think, I feel like everyone starts when those numbers get updated. I feel like I try to rack my brain to think about anybody I've watched or followed. And there really is no comparison. You know, I wasn't alive to see the Seaver days or the Gooden days. But you just look at the numbers, and the thing that stands out to me is that 0.56 ERA he's got after 6 scoreless innings tonight is the lowest through 10 starts for any pitcher through 10 starts of the season since earned runs became an official stat in 1913. So very quite literally on the most fundamental basic way to evaluate a pitcher, this is, you know, the best run anybody has ever had to start a season. And so I don't really, it's tough to find a comparison because even if you look at, you know, the Bob Gibson season or Pedro Martinez, things like that, like DeGrom is still on pace for a better season. And then his numbers are better. Granted, because of the IL stint, he hasn't pitched, you know, as many innings as other guys, his peers this year. But with an ERA like that, I mean, it's incredible to think that he's driven in more runs at the plate, 5, you know, than he's given up all year on the mound, which is 4. So there's certain, you know, we see all these stats in the game notes and from PR and, you know, Elias Sports and ESPN Stats and Info and Major League Baseball, and it's just, the one to me is just that nobody's had a better ERA through 10 starts than him because it's just the most basic way to evaluate a pitcher. And I just can't think of not only anybody who's had a start like that, but anybody who's looked so dominant doing it. Because I think there are some pitchers that get on a little roll. Maybe things are fluky. They're not as talented. This guy deserves every bit of that. I mean, you look at his stuff every 5 days and you wonder how guys even prepare to hit against him. I mean, the Padres could hardly touch him, and they're one of the best lineups in baseball. So it's, it's incredible. You're kind of running out of words for it.
Yeah, there was, he threw one pitch, and I want to say it was in the third inning. Might have been the second. Wasn't the first, but it was relatively early in the game. He threw a 95-mile-an-hour slider. That's just not right. I actually feel badly for the San Diego Padres. When a guy can throw a 95-mile-an-hour slider and it's breaking a foot and a half, how the hell are you supposed to hit something like that?
I don't know. but if you figure that one out, I'd like to know how you then hit an 89-mile-an-hour changeup after that. I think there was one of those sliders that he threw to Fernando Tatis Jr., another NL, you know, MVP candidate in that first inning. And Tatis had actually, you know, one of the hottest guys in baseball, one of the best hitters in baseball. most energetic young players in baseball. He'd actually worked a pretty good at bat, but had no chance to hit that slider. And it's just these, you know, befuddled swings on that pitch and befuddled looks on the faces going back. I mean, tells the whole story. I don't know how you hit, you know, 102 mile an hour fastball, and then once you see that, how you try to prepare for a 95 mile an hour slider or, you know, an 88, 89 mile an hour changeup. It's just, I don't know if humans are, you know, should be able to throw the ball that hard. It's crazy. It's
scary what he's doing right now. We're talking to Justin Toscano from the record about the Mets. All right. Got a little scary because Castro came in. And, oh, by the way, Castro's been pretty good for the Mets this year. Kind of like Aroldis Chapman last night. What are you going to do, get mad at Chapman? He'd been unhittable up until, and then he had a bad night. And Castro had a bad night tonight. But his mates picked him up behind him. And the Mets bullpen has been pretty darn solid. Yes, I know sometimes when DeGrom pitches, they don't hit quite enough. DeGrom kind of took care of that himself tonight by driving in two of the three runs, but the bullpen did secure the win. Didn't feel comfortable about it when Castro was walking off the field, but give props to Lugo and Loop and their closer who came in and got a four-out save, which I think is a really good sign that the Met bullpen has been as good as it has been so far this year.
Right, right. When you – that's, you know, maybe the biggest change that's gone unnoticed, because I think the Mets have really injected this roster with, you know, an immediate infusion of talent since Cohen took over. But most of that, the attention there goes to the position players, and then rightfully so with, you know, Francisco Lindor, James McCann, they're stronger up the middle. All of that is great. But the bullpen, if you looked at their bullpen 2019, when no lead was ever safe, no lead was ever safe. Last year were, you know, besides a couple arms here and there, no one could really get clicking. And now you've got a bullpen that's starting to gain a lot of respect around the league, and you're starting to hear opposing managers and players talking about how you really don't want to face these guys if you're down a run or two with only nine outs to play, because then you're not, you know, they line them up and you're not going to face anybody who's throwing under 98 miles an hour. And right. So it's that's the biggest change. You know, for me, I think their starting pitching obviously has been so good throughout this run, at least the top three in DeGrom, Stroman, and Walker. But that bullpen is really what has almost allowed them to stay in games when they've been using, you know, not so much now, but even a couple weeks ago, the makeshift lineups of guys you've never heard of starting for them. And, you know, those teams weren't scoring seven, eight, nine runs a game. I mean, they were winning with four or five runs a game. And so I think this bullpen, had it not have been as good as it has been, I mean, there's no way they have the record they do. I think that's the most impressive change, and the fact that they did it all without Seth Lugo for the first 2 months is something I really couldn't have seen coming. I don't know if anybody else could have seen it coming, but it's the perfect mix of guys who are hot and they're playing well and they're confident right now, but they've also got great stuff. So it's, I mean, I don't know. You know, we were just talking about DeGrom, but I'm not sure how you hit, you know, Edwin Diaz throwing 100 or Miguel Castro, you know, throwing 98, 99, Trevor May getting up to 98. They've really got a stable back there that's going to be tough for teams if they get down early.
All right. I know you're probably tired of doing this, but you're obligated to do it every day because you're covering the team. You got to check in on the walking wounded. McNeil, potential start of a rehab assignment this weekend. You read somebody reported that. If that's the case, they can get him back within the next 4 or 5 days, you think?
Yeah, so the plan is for him to start a rehab assignment Sunday in Brooklyn. And he might not spend it all in Brooklyn, but it'll start Sunday in Brooklyn. And then they're thinking that with that timeline, that if all goes well, he could be back, you know, activated by next weekend, which is actually ahead of schedule, considering that, gee, a couple weeks ago, Zach Scott, you know, said it was, you know, the acting GM said it was a significant hamstring strain that, you know, would probably keep him out till the end of June. And so the fact, you know, he's ahead of schedule. And then Conforto is probably a week behind him as things stand right now, you know, with his own hamstring strain. So both of those guys, I mean, it really seems like the Mets are getting good news there and are pretty optimistic. I know fans are cautious when the Mets are optimistic about injuries, but it seems like McNeil, at least, as we were mentioning, is headed really in the right direction and could join this team rather soon.
And it has been amazing that the Mets have done as much as they have done with guys that they're just picking up here, there, everywhere. Scrap heap, call it what you want. Guys that were out of the big leagues, didn't, maybe shouldn't be in the big leagues, and they've come in here. McKinney has done yeoman's duty, and then some others have just held down the fort as best they can. How much credit should the manager be getting for the fact that he's taking a somewhat ragtag bunch, not of his doing, but his to deal with and work with as he's been tasked to do? How much credit should he be getting for the fact that the Mets are not only in first place, but widening their divisional lead?
Oh, yeah, just a ton, I think. It's funny, right? When the team does well, you don't hear as much about the manager. When they don't do well, it's all the manager's fault. But I think Luis Rojas, a second-year big league manager. Now, he had experience in the minor leagues and a lot of experience in the Dominican, you know, winter league that helped him. But he deserves a ton of credit, especially considering his first year last year was by no means normal. The start of this year was not normal. His team in the first month of the season has 18 on the injured list and is missing 5 of their 8 starting position players. And yet, at this point, I guess now I'm talking to you, and it's June 12th. The day just turned. But at this point, they've been in first place, held sole possession of first place in their division for over a month straight. It's incredible. And I think it just goes to show that, you've got a team that really could have crumbled through all of this, but they've stayed together. And it goes to show what we've heard about Luis Rojas all along, about how he keeps a tight clubhouse, how his players respect him, how they play for him, how communication is his number one thing. He tells these guys what he expects from them, what they can expect, in their roles. He tells them exactly what's going on. And we've heard that, from the players too, and his, not only his bosses, but the players, the ones he deals with every day. And I think that's really important because, look, I mean, for the past month, there have been new faces in and out of there every day. And so it's important to, that everybody knows the role, that everybody is kept apprised of, what's expected of them. And I just think that with not only that, but his ability to build relationships with players, and he's really a player's first guy. I think, if you didn't have that, if you had somebody who was a little more frantic and not as calm amid the storm, there's no way this team is doing what it is. But I think that there's something to be said for going through a stretch like this. If you're a player and you've got a manager like Luis Rojas who is really calm, he's just cool, collected, nothing seems to faze him. He acts like, he's got no injuries on that team. That's just his mindset, his attitude. Nothing really seems to get to him, and I think that rubs off on the team.
He has pushed all the right buttons, and for my money, he's a manager of the year candidate. He has done a phenomenal job. You did too, Justin, hopping on, getting us some updated info. I appreciate your doing so. I will get you on again about 5 months from now, because that's when I'm probably going to have my next show. So be on the lookout for a call about 5 months from now. Maybe we'll be talking Mets in the postseason. Thanks, bud.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jody. And y'all, I'll mark my calendar right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Get you flipping ahead about 5 months and put a big FAN there somewhere in the middle of the week. Justin, good stuff. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yep, you got it, Jody.
Justin Toscano covers the Mets for the record. Does an outstanding job. Did a good job with us.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.